In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
They hurried to the temple with an extra bounce in their step. The songs of Zion filled their ears. Alleluias rang clear. They rejoiced with each other as they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Oh, how they longed to be in the courts of the Lord and to gaze at the beauty of their God in his temple. But they had been lepers, and lepers were forbidden from entering the temple. So soon, but the Lord of glory had healed them. The God of Jacob, who sits between the two cherubs, had cleansed them of their leprosy. So with joyful hearts, they went to the temple. And soon they would see the smoke rising from the hills of Zion from the burnt offerings offered on the temple grounds. That was the place of contact between God and his people. The altar was everything. There God promised to meet them and to bless them. So as they see the smoke rising from the hills of Zion, they were certain that God was still present in Israel. Yes, he was everywhere. But he was not present everywhere to heal them, to bless them, or to cleanse them. Only at the temple, the place God chose out of all the nations. Jerusalem was his holy city. Jerusalem was his dwelling place. This was the city of God. One temple, not many temples. One place of worship, not many. One way to God, one path to heaven, not many. The Greek gods had many shrines and temples scattered throughout the countryside, but not the Lord. He had one place that all nations were to come and to receive his healing grace. It's a house made holy by his presence, a place set apart by his glory for his work. For the temple was the place that God was working to cleanse his people, a place of grace, a place of glory, a place of peace, a place of promise. The temple was everything for the people of Israel. So God was not most clearly seen out in the battlefields, not even at Jericho. And he was not most clearly seen in the prophet's miracles, but at the temple. At the temple, God was most clearly seen as being the Savior of Israel. So how swiftly their feet must have carried them. Soon they would be declared clean from their leprosy and welcomed back into the nation of Israel. They would bring their sacrifices and offerings, for to be declared clean, something must first die. And there at the place of sacrifice, God would meet them and declare them clean. They sacrificed to God, trusting that God would send a better sacrifice that would actually cleanse them outwardly and inwardly. And by burning up the sacrifices, God promised to do just that. As the fire burned part of their offering, the priests consumed the other part. As the grain offering mixed with incense, which they were also required to bring, as that wafted up to high heaven, they could smell that God was certainly pleased with them and desired to cleanse them. But not the blood. The blood was not to be sacrificed to God. The blood was not to be consumed either. But for these lepers, the blood of the sacrifice was smeared on their right earlobe, their right thumb, and their right big toe, for it is the blood that cleanses, the blood of the sacrifice. So how joyfully they went to meet their God. But one stopped and looked back. In vain he urged the others to come with him, but they were already set, had their hearts set on seeing that earthly temple of God. They were stuck on the shadow, stuck on gold and silver, bricks and stone. They urged him to come with them, but he was a foreigner, and even if he wanted to, he could not enter the temple grounds. And his faith would not let him take one more step toward that earthly temple. For he saw what they did not see. That God had moved. No longer was he most clearly seen in the temple, but Emmanuel stood behind him. God in flesh and blood stood behind him. So faith would not let him take one more step toward that earthly building. With eager heart, he hurried back to his Lord and Savior, to that temple made without hands, yet crafted in the womb of the Blessed Virgin. With eager steps, he ran to the place of healing, the place of sacrifice, the place of grace, the place of promise, the place of life and salvation. And when he arrived, he fell down in thanksgiving and clasped Jesus' feet. And he was a Samaritan. The high priest was the only one allowed into the Holy of Holies, and that but once a year. And yet here a foreigner comes into the very presence of the Almighty God who had redeemed Israel out of Egypt by the Red Sea. And he holds on to his God. And the Lord does not turn him away, because he believed that this was the God who saves, who will cleanse him from a far greater disease than simply that of leprosy. This is the God wrapped in flesh and blood who has come to be the temple for all nations, not simply for the Jews. So he wanted no other God than this fleshy God. The nine did not believe that Jesus was God, but the Samaritan was given faith to believe. With an eager heart, he returned to his God in thanksgiving. In Jerusalem, there was only one temple. So also, there is only one Emmanuel. There is only one way to heaven, only one Savior of men, only one sacrifice that truly atones for the sins of the whole world. There is only one path to God, and that is found in Jesus Christ. The God-man is it. He alone has taken away not only the sins of Jews and Samaritans, but the sins of the whole world. Salvation is found in him alone. Forgiveness in his flesh and blood alone. God still dwells in his temple. It is the temple of his body, so that fallen men can still fall down at his feet in thanksgiving and receive cleansing from the leprosy of sin, healing from every woe, and life eternal. He may have been all alone, but faith drove him. The nine failed to believe that Jesus was the Son of the eternal God, but the Samaritan was given faith to believe. He was given faith to believe this is the same God who had redeemed Israel, the same God who sat between the two cherubs in the Holy of Holies. And that this same body of God would be offered up on the altar of the cross to bring healing to all nations, and the blood of God would flow from his side to cleanse him from head to toe and inside and out. It did not matter that he was a foreigner, because the scriptures clearly say, in these last days, many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the temple of the God of Jacob." And that temple is Jesus Christ. Dearly beloved, do not run on a great pilgrimage and think that that has somehow brought you closer to God. Do not go out into the beauty of nature and think that somehow there you experience God more rightly or more fully than anywhere else. Yes, God is out there. Christ is everywhere. But he has not promised to bless you everywhere. He has not promised to save you or to give you his forgiveness as you sit out and look at trees, but through his word and through his sacraments. So learn from this Samaritan, learn from this foreigner, like you and I are foreigners, and run to the flesh and blood of God in faith. Run to Christ with happy feet. Run to the temple of his body. The Jews destroyed it, yet on the third day he rose, raised it from the dead, so that he might bestow upon you his life and his healing. Your leprosy of sin is gone. Your faults and your failures and your frustrations removed by his all-atoning blood. You are declared clean and righteous and perfect in God's sight. Nothing more needs to be done, for the sacrifice has been made. How lovely is this fleshy temple. It's a place of life. It's a place of salvation, a place of peace and of rest, a place of grace and a place of healing for all nations. Only in Christ, only in Christ, that fleshy temple made without hands. With eager hearts, wake up Sunday morning because you get to go into the temple of God. That is, you get to go into God's presence. With joyful words, tell your children who is waiting for them here and what he will do for them. Put them in the car and sing your alleluias. Sing the songs of Zion, because the Lord is present to save them too. Let faith move you. Better is one day here, in this sanctuary, in God's presence, than 1,000 elsewhere. Oh, how our soul longs to be in the courts of God and to gaze at the beauty of God's forgiving blood. Our heart cries out for the living God. Do not make it wait any longer. Get here on time. For you do not want to miss out on even 1 second of your time with Christ. Fall down in faith on your knees before him and clasp his body as he comes to heal you, to save you, and to love you in the Holy Supper. Do not let him pass by. And sing your songs of thanksgiving and love for all that he has done for you. Faith drives you back to Christ, back to his word and to his sacrament, for that is where Christ is found. So what if the other 9 don't come? So what if many other people don't believe? God has given you faith to believe. And faith wants to be in no other place than before this fleshy temple, receiving his eternal gifts. So rejoice with those who say to you, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.